Jim Harrison, the Michigan-based writer renowned for his work in both fiction and poetry, has died at the age of 78. He was probably best known for Legends of the Fall, his book that became a hit movie starring Brad Pitt. Known as a rugged outdoorsman, Harrison was born in Grayling and grew up in Hazlitt. The 1960s-era Michigan State University graduate was a collegiate contemporary of fellow writer Tom McWhain. A few years ago, Harrison and McWhain spoke at a Wharton Center program along with another great Michigan author, Richard Ford. The host of that program was historian and Lansing City Pulse writer Bill Castanier. Bill Castanier joins us now to remember Jim Harrison. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
We've mentioned Legends of the Fall. Tell us a bit more about Jim Harrison's other works. I mean, for people who might only know him for the movie, how does it fit in with all the rest of his output?
I think it's most noted because it was made into a movie. Other than that, there's many, many of his novels, novellas, and books of poetry that are better. But it caught the attention of the movie industry. But I think some of his most noted books are like Dalva, which he wrote in a woman's voice, which people don't know much about. His poetry books are all phenomenal, including his most recent. And then he wrote, one of my favorite books is The Raw and the Cooked, which is a collection of essays that ran in Esquire over a period of years. And I remember subscribing to Esquire for that particular reason, is to read his essays. And his essays on cooking were quite unusual because they might include something like how to make head cheese. You know, take one pig's head, boil for 24 hours. And I think his work, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, he's going to be considered one of the great American novelists like Faulkner.
You think his reputation will be enhanced after his death?
It always does with an author.
Do his works have Michigan settings?
Oh, absolutely. I would say the broad number of them do, the vast majority. One of his most famous collections is Brown Dog, which is quite an unusual character in literature. And Brown Dog almost all take place in Michigan. He loved Michigan. He lived here for quite some time. He grew up in Reed City, Hazlitt, and then lived in Leelanau for maybe two decades before then sharing his time between Arizona and Montana.
What do we know? What did we learn through his work about his affection for the outdoors? Where did this come from?
Well, I think it came from his parent, his father, who was an outdoorsman. His father also worked for Michigan State University in the Extension Service. And Jim's love of the outdoors, I believe, started with gardening. I was with him several times in MSU gardens, and his affection for the earth, the plants, was amazing to see. He could sit there for hours upon hours in one of the MSU gardens and just think.
Which ones? Where did you spend time with him?
The one he liked the most is what is called the MSU Hidden Garden, the secret garden that was done by the radiologist.
Oh, Jim Pochin.
Yes, Pochin. Yeah, God, he loved Pochin's garden.
Well, that's an extraordinary spot.
It is, and it was quiet. There wasn't a lot of people there, but he one of the reasons he liked gardens is after his father and his sister were killed in an auto accident by a drunk driver, he kind of immersed himself in MSU gardens. That's where he sought solace. Mm. He said without it, he would have gone crazy.
You're going to read a Jim Harrison poem for us. Tell us about it.
Well, the poem I'm going to read is from a book, In Search of Small Gods. The poem is meaningful to me because when my mother died a few years ago, I called Jim and asked him, I asked permission if I could read this poem. I never did anything without asking him if I could use something in print or something like that, and he was always gracious. And the reason I wanted to read it, it'll become apparent in the last sentence, is it because it confronts death. Mm-hmm. And he, in his last writings, he was writing very much about his own mortality. Mm. So this is called Larsen's Holstein Bull. Death waits inside us for a door to open. Death is patient as a dead cat. Death is a doorknob made of flesh. Death is that angelic farm girl, gored by the bull on her way home from school, crossing the pasture. For a shortcut, in the seventh grade, she couldn't read or write. She wasn't a virgin. She was simple-minded, we all said. It was May, a time of lilacs and shooting stars. She's lived in my memory for 60 years. Death steals everything except our stories. And for me, that was kind of his life in a nutshell. Mm. It was about he was an incredible storyteller. And when someone dies, we all sit around and tell the stories about their life. And I think that's what's going to happen in the next few weeks about Jim Harrison. There are some amazing stories about him.
Bill Castanier writes about books for the Lansing City Pulse. We're talking about Jim Harrison, the Michigan-based author and poet who died this weekend. What's your most memorable time you spent with him? How much time did you spend with him?
Well, I first met him at a bar in East Lansing. It was Beggar's Banquet. He liked bars. In 1973, and over a period of 20, 25 years, I'd run into him consistently, whether it was in Leelanau, at book readings. I'd make a point of going to his book readings. In Chicago, I went to a book reading because I just coincidentally was in the city at the same time, and a friend of his asked me out for dinner with him, and that sort of started our relationship, which he called me a pal, which to me was a very affectionate term. But after that, after we did the event at MSU, I always called him about every book. I called him on his birthday. We talked candidly about a lot of things, including the loss of what he thought would be the loss of his wife before he died, which he said was his greatest fear, and that happened 6 months ago.
Yeah. What was he like on a personal level? I mean, he has this rugged, no-nonsense kind of exterior, and indeed a lot of that is reflected in his writing. Was that consistent with him on a face-to-face basis?
I think not. I mean, you could see some of those influences in how he dealt with life, but he was the kindest, gentlest, smartest. He was beyond smart. I saw him when we were in the MSU Gardens, for example, stop and talk to a woman pulling weeds for like 20 minutes. Not many people would do that. Mm. They would just dismiss that person. Now, Jim was down to earth, literally and figuratively, and I think that wasn't often seen because he was caught up in being the macho hunter fisher. And that wasn't Jim, totally. Jim was kind, gentle, would do anything for anyone, and he was extremely loyal. Mm. I mean, he had two publishers, Grove Press, and then his publisher of his poetry books, Copper Canyon, that he stuck with his entire publishing career.
You mentioned his wife, who passed away about a year ago, or less than a year ago, Linda King Harrison. Do we know much about her impact on his work? Did she have any?
Oh, absolutely. He always said she did. She read everything, and also she was sort of his, not anchor, but she kept him on target. They were married more than 50 years, and for people who said he was a misogynist, you'd only have to know Linda to know that he wasn't. And he also had an assistant named Joyce who really for, I think, close to three decades did everything for him. What she enabled him to do was write rather than do stupid things.
Mm. How do you know how well he adapted to his life without his wife?
Poorly.
Okay.
Like I said, that was his greatest fear, that he would outlive her.
Yeah. Did you have much contact with him here since she died?
Not much, no. He went into somewhat hibernation. I know he finished two big books during that period. In fact, it was right before she died. It was the last time I talked with him.
He remained busy to the end, as you just alluded here, with two books coming out just this year. He was just interviewed by the New York Times a week or so ago, and he told them, quote, "I now find myself in an occasional state of surprise that I've made a living as a novelist for quite some time, the opposite of what I expected." Did he really not expect to make a living as a novelist?
I think in his early career, he certainly he didn't think he could ever make a living as a writer, period, of any kind, and he suffered depression during that period because of that. But good friends pulled him out of it. Tom McGuane got him to write Wolf. Absolutely.
This is so ironic, Bill, because Friday night is cable movie night at our house. Would you care to guess the movie that I pretty much out of the blue decided to watch on Friday night?
Missouri Breaks?
It was. That's relevant. I'm glad you brought that up. It was Wolf. It was Wolf. And I've always enjoyed the movie. It doesn't necessarily change your life, but I've always thought it was
movie.
A great movie. Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer, and...
Jack Nicholson pulled him out when he was very desperate for money. He loaned him some money.
Tell us about that.
Well, it was on the set of Missouri Breaks, I believe. That's when Nicholson was introduced to Jim by Tom McGuane, and Nicholson liked his writing, and he said, "Here's some money, keep writing," because Jim was ready to go and teach, which to him would have been deadly, and. That was kind of his relationship with Nicholson, and it pulled him into the Hollywood set where he made a lot of money screenwriting for a lot of things that were never produced.
Tell us, now, explain the relevance of the Missouri Breaks here, though, too, because you alluded to that.
Well, Tom McGuane, at a point, is still an incredible writer. He's pretty much not writing as much as he used to. He's enjoying himself in Montana also and his horse farm. But McGuane and Harrison were a wild bunch, let's just put it that way, when they got together. And he invited them to the set of Missouri Breaks, which is a campy Western, frankly. And it was written as a script first and then a paperback book. And Tom, who was always Jim's friend in college, introduced him to Nicholson. And that set off a lifetime, but many years of friendship with Nicholson, who opened up many doors for him and also did for Tom McGuane.
And, of course, the movie created quite a stir because it united Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando in what became a mediocre at best movie.
It could have been a good movie. It's too bad because it had incredible stars in it.
Do we know anything about services for Jim?
Nothing yet, no. Okay. My guess is it'll be something very quiet for his two daughters and their families. And the very closest friends, if any, that he would have a service for. Jim didn't really believe in that. Mm.
Bill Castanier writes about books for the Lansing City Pulse. Thanks for this look at the remarkable life and literary career of Jim Harrison. Jim Harrison, the noted author and poet who died this weekend at the age of 78 at his winter home in Arizona. Thanks again.